Well, hello there, and welcome back to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast. I'm your host for today, Dr. Kate Kresge, joined by Dr. Kurt Waller and Scott Mativi, CMO and CEO of Mosaic Diagnostics. Now, you've probably heard of Mosaic Diagnostics, and maybe you're thinking right now of their oat test. And that makes sense because 30 years ago, when the company started as Great Plains Laboratory, they launched with that test. But since then, the company has changed and pivoted to now offering a mosaic of different testing options. And there's a reason behind their name change that we'll dive into. So we go through all the different types of testing they offer, the clinical validity and usefulness of those tests. And we get to hear particularly from Dr. Kurt about how he uses them in practice and how he really feels that they move the needle. What I love about this is that we get a deep dive into Mosaic and the breadth of tests that they offer. We also get to know the people of Mosaic and the heart and the mission behind what they do. I can't wait to hear what you think of this episode. Let's dive in. Before we get started, though, I've got a special question for the practitioners in the audience. Practitioners, what if your supplement dispensing, patient education, and treatment planning all lived in one powerful platform built for whole person care? And what if that platform was free for both you and your patients while saving you hours each week on treatment planning and follow-up? Well, meet FullScript, the comprehensive care delivery platform designed to reduce administrative burden and enhance clinical impact. From automated refills and lab ordering with interpretation, to evidence-based protocols and built-in adherence support, FullScript integrates the tools you need to streamline care and stay focused on what matters most, your patients. In a recent survey, 74% of providers reported saving up to 3 hours per week using FullScript to create their treatment plans. Are you ready to work smarter and elevate your practice? Visit FullScript.com to get started today. Dr. Kurt Waller and Scott Mativi, welcome to the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.
Hi, Kate. It's a pleasure to be here.
Kate, it's very nice to be here. Thank you so much.
I'm so glad you're here. So we are here today to talk about you guys and the folks over at Mosaic Diagnostics and how this incredible company came to be. So let's start at the beginning. I'm wondering if you could take us back to the 1990s and what was going on that led to the creation of Mosaic in the first place.
Well, Mosaic was founded by Dr. Bill Shaw. So Dr. Bill Shaw is a PhD in biochemistry. He worked for the CDC early in his career, going back, I believe, even to the 1980s. And he was a specialist in looking at metabolic diseases in children. So he somehow, I forget how he landed in the Kansas City area, but he was working at a local hospital looking at metabolic inborn errors and metabolism problems in kids. And so he gained a great insight into what are called organic acids, which essentially became the organic acid test. And his goal at that time was to develop a test that looked for certain markers that weren't necessarily always diagnostic of disease, but gave an indication of underlying biochemical imbalances that could be linked to various conditions, various, you know, symptoms and conditions. One of them, you know, patterns that were seen in autistic kids. And that's really where he got his start. And that's actually, Kate, where I was introduced to the organic acid test. I was actually practicing in San Diego, California at the time, which is where I'm from, originally grew up after medical school. And I went to a Defeat Autism Now conference. That was 1998, I believe it was. And the one thing I remember from that conference was the organic acid test and a presentation that Dr. Shaw gave. And it was my first introduction to that test. And I had a consult with him shortly thereafter. I saw my first child and he went over some of the markers. And of course, it was a lot of information, but I dedicated myself to learning about the organic acid test and how to apply it in clinical practice. And for me, it's become a focal point of functional medicine testing. And that has evolved over the years, just not only through the information it provides, but how to apply it clinically to so many different types of patient populations that typically people who are dealing with, you know, chronic complex issues, but it's a test that also could be used for wellness and longevity. So there's just so much applicability to the organic acid test in practice. And as the lab has evolved and now into the Mosaic Diagnostic years, there has been, you know, additions of other testing, looking at toxins through our ToxDetect, the mycotox profile, food IgG, even bringing on profiles that look at Lyme and tick-borne infections. So it's a really exciting time in the functional integrative medicine space, and it's certainly an exciting time to be involved at Mosaic Diagnostics and just bringing this information together and really pushing things to a new innovative level.
This is awesome. Now, Scott, you're the CEO of Mosaic, and you joined the team in the past few years. What inspired you to team up with Mosaic Diagnostics?
Yeah. Hi, Kate. I've only been here a little over a year now. I started in December of 2024, and I was really drawn to Mosaic because of the mission of the company. In almost 30 years of my career, 30 plus years, I've been in the traditional healthcare side of things. And so this was a little bit new for me to come over to integrated functional medicine. So I was really intrigued by what I had heard. And from going from spending all my time to helping people diagnose diseases, but treat them with medications that really were not helping them, from digging in and finding out what it is that's really the root cause of what's going on. I just found that is a fascinating way to do things. And what I'm seeing is that certainly the public and patients are demanding that. The groundswell of grassroots efforts that are coming from patients to really push that forward, it cannot be stopped. So excited to be on this side of things, helping patients truly get better. The other thing that's really intriguing to me, or was really intriguing to me and has been very exciting to me, is the clinical education that we lean into. We have a team of clinical experts that spend their time all day, every day, helping clinicians understand these complex tests and what they mean and what to do with those results to really help these patients get better. We're very proud of the team that we have, of these folks. I'm sure you know all of them and have spent time with them. And it's amazing what they're able to do and take these very complex mosaic of test results and put them together in such a way that helps people truly get better.
Now, you alluded to this, but I want to call it out specifically. So, I mean, Dr. Waller, I think a lot of people know Mosaic for the OAT test that, I mean, you talked about learning about decades ago. But since then, Mosaic has expanded its panel of tests exponentially. Can we talk about the variety of testing options that this company offers, and maybe even a little bit about why these tests were added?
Well, it's really trying to bridge the gap, for practitioners in their diagnostic ability to assess patients for underlying imbalances and to look at things, particularly from a much broader standpoint. I call it kind of pulling back the lens when you start dealing with people who are dealing with, again, whether it's nutritional imbalances or some kind of metabolic imbalance. The organic acid test we know has an entire section that looks at fungal overgrowth situations within the digestive tract, Clostridia bacteria, mitochondrial problems. And again, how that information gets applied really depends on the clinical scenario of a particular patient. Like every situation, you're always attaching the test results to the clinical presentation of the patient. And one of the things going back essentially to Dr. Shaw at Great Plains, there wouldn't be mycotoxin testing, for example, within this space if it weren't for Great Plains Mosaic bringing that test information forward to the importance of what it means to actually be exposed to mycotoxins environmentally and how that can contribute to many different types of symptoms or even health conditions. I mean, the list is extensive. So that's a really, really important test. And we're really the innovators of that information. The environmental chemical aspect is important, Kate. As you know, the story or the discussions around glyphosate, organophosphates, phthalates, these other compounds that we're exposed to, all of us have some level of exposure. None of us live in a bubble. And so what we're doing with these tests is allowing a practitioner to assess a patient's exposure. And then again, the information based on what those individual compounds mean, tying it back to their clinical scenario to see if it fits with regards to their symptoms or their underlying diagnosis. Food IgG testing has been around. I mean, this is a lab that brought that forward and really looked at the expansive nature of food sensitivity testing to drive inflammation, to be linked to autoimmune conditions, for example, looking at metals, looking at other metabolic imbalances. Again, I mentioned the incorporation of Lyme and tick-borne infection testing. This is a huge problem across the country. It's not just something relegated to the Northeast. This is, I've seen, I started my practice in San Diego. I saw patients in San Diego who are being exposed to these problems. So there's just a growing list of things that we've been able to add, continue to look at partnership with other labs, other organizations to bring this information forward. So it's really, when you work with Mosaic, you're not just doing a lab test. You're also working with a lab company as to Scott's point, that has a top-notch clinical education team to learn how to interpret the test appropriately and, again, apply that information back to the clinical presentation of the patient. And that, in fact, that's one of the first questions that gets asked by the clinical advisors. Tell me about your patient. What's going on with them? So it's not just going over the numbers on the test. It's how to, what does it mean for that particular individual? And that's critically important in this space.
You guys have incredibly, incredibly talented people on your team. But one of the things I'm always impressed with when I meet with anybody from Mosaic is the heart behind the mission. And so I'm curious if you guys can tell us a little bit about yourselves and who you are. And Dr. Waller, your story of how you got into functional medicine and treating the population you treat, I think is a fascinating one. And then a little bit about the team of people that you work with every single day who are on the other end of the phone when clinicians call. I think now would be a really nice space to have folks get to know you.
Yeah, I mean, going back to just my start in wanting to go to medical school in the first place was, again, I love the science, but I love the idea and the ability to help people with the health challenges they're facing. And that I had that same passion as I did day one of medical school and postgraduate training as I do now. What's beautiful now is having the years of experience and worked with so many people over the years and helped so many people to be able to take that knowledge and experience and expand it forward. And it's what's really exciting, Kate, is coming from the purely clinical practice side for nearly 30 years to step into the chief medical officer role at Mosaic and now work with a group of individuals that are dedicated to the same process. Being able to bring my skill set as a practicing clinician into this environment where you're working with somebody like Scott, who comes from the conventional world, but you know, has the same passion and heart for people, just looking at it from a different angle, and working with sales and working with marketing and working with customer service. And my position as chief medical officer, working with the clinical advisors, the lab advisors, they're all highly passionate individuals and all skilled in their own way with regards to a certain subset of patients they've worked with, whether it's somebody that myself working with the autism and special needs community for many years, or individuals who work with women with health issues or oncology or whatever it may be. They're all dedicated towards the same process. That's why, again, when you call Mosaic and talk to a clinical advisor, one of the first questions they're going to ask you is, tell me about your patient, right? What's their story? What's happening with them? That matters. It's not just, well, what does arabinose mean on the test, or why is the succinic acid high? That's important. But again, what does it mean for the patient? And so I look at us as a resource, as an avenue of education, as an avenue of outreach to be able to get really concrete help from experienced practitioners in this particular space, you know, who, again, just like that practitioner calling, trying to help a patient, they're there to help you. And we all have that same passion, you know, for this process.
And how did you end up with the specialty that you ended up with?
So, you know, it's interesting. I went to medical school. I went to osteopathic medical school because I liked the philosophy of osteopathy. It was kind of merging conventional medical training, but more the more holistic aspect of how the musculoskeletal system integrates to our physiology and vice versa. And so I was introduced to some of these early concepts, even in medical school, with the people that I was hanging out with and some of the professors that influenced my thought. When I got out of medical school, my goal was to become a traditional, what's called a cranial osteopath. And I had an opportunity to go back to San Diego. I came out of my postgraduate training in Arizona, started working with a DO in San Diego at that time to do, again, cranial osteopathy, which was kind of the focal point. But he was very much into nutrition. And he introduced me to the Price-Pottinger Foundation out of San Diego still. I got introduced to Standard Process, started learning about, you know, whole food supplements. And then again, I found that DAN conference, Defeat Autism Now. In fact, so he came to me one day and said, hey, do you want to go to this conference? And my reference point for autism was the movie Rain Man back in college. So I didn't know what autism was. I went to that conference, it was 1998-ish, I guess. And I was overwhelmed by the amount of information. We're hearing lectures on immunology and hormone and detox. I mean, some of the big names that, you know, are still today well-known in the functional integrative space were there. And that's where I learned about the organic acid test. So that hooked me into the autism community. And it was shortly thereafter, my wife is also a naturopathic physician, Dr. Tracy Trancatella. And we went to a conference in San Diego that was being put on by a lab on adrenal testing. So they were looking at salivary testing for DHEA and hormones. And that's where I was introduced to a Dr. Bill Timmons. And Dr. Bill Timmons started a lab a few years after that called Biohealth Laboratory, which I had the pleasure of working with for nearly 15 years. We did lab advising and I did education for them. And it was Dr. Bill Timmons that really introduced, Kate, the original concept of what we call functional medicine. Now, I don't know if he was the first one that coined that term, but the way he spoke and taught was fundamental of what we're all taught with regards to now with this space of functional medicine, looking at immune function, hormones, gut function, and detox. And I was able to take that information from what I learned in the autism community, their problems, take this core concepts of functional medicine and merge the two. And so I often tell people, I really grew up in the functional integrative space. I've been doing this kind of work before it was ever called functional integrative medicine. And it's been a wonderful journey to be able to help so many different types of patients. I work with people, yes, kids, teenagers, and adults with autism or other special needs. But from that knowledge, I'm able to work with people with autoimmune conditions or chronic gut problems or neurological issues or mental health components or disorders, excuse me. And again, from that early functional medicine training through Dr. Timmons' organization, I was able to take that information and bring it over to the autism side as well. So it's been a very interesting journey. And now being able to bring that skill set to Mosaic and expand upon things from a educational standpoint and an innovation standpoint is very, not only very exciting, it's fun because I'm working with a group of individuals who, again, are all dedicated to that process. We all just have different skill sets and they're all fantastic people and extremely dedicated to this company and to what we provide to the world.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Scott, how about you?
Well, that was a great answer, Kurt. I don't know if I can do as well as you just did, but a quick history of myself. Great Plains was born in Kansas, and so was I. So I'm actually from a small town called Pittsburgh, Kansas, down the southeast corner of Kansas. And I was raised by a very loving, caring family and a very loving, caring school system. Went to a very small school. I had 120 kids in my entire high school. So if you can imagine something like that. But and then I moved up to Kansas City to go to med tech school and spent the entirety of my career really working in Kansas City. One of the things we talk about as a company, though, is just the culture all the time. And when we make decisions, when we think about those decisions, we, you know, of course, we have our board meetings and we have our slides and we have our financials and things of that nature. But really, the leadership team, when we talk about things that we're going to do, we always talk about what's best for our patients and how can we help more people? Because all we care about really at the end of the day is how can we help more people with the right information, when they need it, where they need it. The things that frustrate me as a leader are the things that we are unable to get to as fast as I would like for us to be able to get to them, because I know how many people need that information or need that service or need that test. And we are working tirelessly to make sure that we bring as many of those things to bear as we possibly can, because we all we want to do is help more people. There are so many people out there that are so sick. All the various shows that you're able to see on Netflix and here there, it's just fascinating, but it's also so painful to watch these people that are in so much pain that don't know where to turn. They don't know where to go to really get better. I've had it in my own family. as well. And I've seen the transformation that has happened within my own family. So that made me even that much more passionate about what we do. My wife, Brenda, is also a very caring person. She was a special ed teacher, and then she went into teaching blind and visually impaired kids for 20-some years. So caring sort of runs in our family, and it's very important to us that we care for one another because that is why we're here, I feel.
I'm so glad you shared that. Scott, the first time I met you, I will say, like, I remembered you talking about Brenda. I think we talked about Brenda for 5 whole minutes. And I came away feeling like, as a clinician, you're in front of that heartbreak every day. And you want to work with people who get that. And that's the forefront of their mind every day, too. And I remember thinking, oh, man, I'm so glad Scott's here. I think it was right after you joined the team. And I thought, man, they're so lucky. They've got somebody in the forefront who is part of a team who's thinking about this every day at home and at work. And yeah, I mean, your people are incredible. And I mean, I the people who answer the phone, the people who do the clinical consults for your team are some of the loveliest people I've met and who really care about their patients, who are dedicated to alleviating suffering. I want to back up for a second because I want to dive a little bit more into the environmental exposure and the panels that you guys offer. But I think it's important, especially for people who are newer to the functional medicine space, to go back to the history a little bit and to think about how these tests were invented, but also how they got brought to market. And my impression, and you correct me if I'm wrong, is that doctors were realizing that things like environmental exposure were critical for their patients. It was showing up in the medical literature, but they had no way to really measure it. And so somebody had to go develop the technology and then go bring it to market so that doctors could actually start to test their clients for these exposures. That's not an easy thing to do. And we haven't had access to this technology until fairly recently. So I think it's incredible. And I've watched Mosaic expand as a clinician's thinking and needs expand when they're tackling tough cases. So can we talk about that for a second? Because I think that's an important concept, particularly for people who are new to this field.
We're in a very dirty world. We're in a very toxic world, and we are under attack at all times from our environment, whether it be things in our home, whether it be things we're eating, things we're exposed to in our work environment, et cetera. And we really have to have the ability to assess those attacks on us, not only what is attacking us, but how can we respond to it? How effectively can our body respond to it, either naturally, or there's some supplements that we might need to help us in this detox process, or just help us with our overall health so that we can fend these things off. And when we don't know what is attacking us, we really are sort of out there flying blind. So it's very important to understand exactly what it is that's undertaking those attacks on us so that we can effectively deal with them with the right help and educational and the practitioner support that we have to have.
And Kate, you're correct in the technology behind it is complex.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Scott came from the conventional lab world. It's, you're using very much the same technology and the advancement of technology and the different methodologies to assess these types of compounds. These are many of them complicated compounds to analyze. Mycotoxins, for example, some of these things have very complex chemical structures, which can make it difficult to assess accurately. And that's all about, I mean, that is the world of laboratory medicine, right? And Scott can speak, you know, to this too, is accuracy and detection, making sure that what you're measuring is actually the thing that you're measuring, that it's not something else, and the reproducibility and the reliability of the testing. And this is a lab that has really been at the forefront of that type of movement. And that's really important in this space of functional integrated medicine, particularly, is to be, you know, held to those same standards and to hold yourself to those same standards.
That's something I wanted to bring up. So we've mentioned a couple things. I want to quickly go over a list. When we say environmental exposures, we're talking about, you fill in the gaps, Dr. Roller, but you mentioned mycotoxins, but then things like glyphosate. So checking for exposure to pesticides at really high levels that might impact your patient. What other environmental toxins do your panels allow clinicians to gain insights into?
So interesting. There's a number of them. I mean, the organophosphates, the herbicides, pesticides, you know, play a big role. Phthalates, which are compounds that unfortunately a lot of us are exposed to. We just don't know it. Used in household goods, used in, you know, as a plasticizer, found in paints and lacquer, for example. These are endocrine disruptors. Perchlorate is another compound that shows up fairly commonly, regardless of where you live. Interestingly, perchlorate could be, you know, come from rocket fuel, fireworks. It's used in, you know, manufacturing processes, gets into the municipal water supply. The big problem about perchlorate is it's a thyroid inhibitor. So it's really problematic for women who are pregnant because it can interfere with thyroid function, and that's significantly detrimental to a developing embryo. One of the interesting things, Kate, and I've had a number of situations, there are certain markers that can show up from somebody who's renovated their home. So I had a case once of an individual that had renovated a lake cabin, and they, you know, new flooring, new paint, all that. And then they closed up the house for the winter. And they had done a test prior and then afterwards. Prior's test was essentially, you know, negligible as far as most of these compounds. Afterwards, they moved in, opened up the house, immediately moved in, never allowed the house to really ventilate before moving in. And they showed up with all kinds of compounds that were linked specifically to outgassing from their carpet, from their paint. It was really pretty impressive. So you can pick up on patterns like that. One of the unique things about the tests that we have, when you learn how to use them beyond just looking at a test and its individual marker or a number on a test, is the patterns that these tests reveal. The organic acid test, for example, is famous for that. When you can start to look at one section of the organic acid test and understand the patterns of other markers that could be elevated because of perhaps maybe it's a fungal or a bacterial problem, but could also speak to the fact that there's environmental exposures. And so the organic acid test allows for that pattern recognition to say, this is a marker or a series of markers that suggests I should go do mycotoxin testing, or I should go do environmental chemical testing. And that really starts to expand your ability to assess patients from more of an expanded viewpoint environmentally. So it's really interesting to watch. You see the same kind of patterns with mycotoxin testing too. The cool thing about mycotoxin testing is you know that you've been exposed, and in many cases, the exposure is coming from the place where somebody's living. So it speaks to the fact that, hey, we need to get your house assessed. And that starts to bring in this whole other level of discussion. So it's all about action, you know, Kate, right? You detect something and say, well, where's the common exposure source coming from? Let's implement some actions to reduce or eliminate that exposure. Organophosphates, glyphosate, we know commonly we can avoid those as much as possible just by changing our diet and eating more organic and eating non-GMO food. So a lot of really, I think, transformative things that get implemented for patients when they know what they're being exposed to.
Well, and how nice is it to then be able to retest and actually see things change? And I think that's where, and Scott, this is where your background is so awesome here. I mean, there's scrutiny around this type of testing, particularly what clinicians perceive as a new type of testing or a type of testing maybe they didn't learn about in school. How do you at Mosaic approach the scientific debate around these different testing types you offer?
Yeah, I'm really glad you asked that question, Kay, because we are the company that really prides ourselves on scientific excellence. As you know, these are all lab developed tests. They're called LDTs. And so we have to validate these tests from the ground up with a level of rigor that would surpass most tests you would bring into a laboratory that is an IVD. So we have lots and lots of pre-validation work, validation work, retesting that has to be done. And we do it at such a level of rigor that it would pass the type of rigor that you would see in pharma or New York State or any FDA, anyone that might come in with that level of scrutiny to look at your testing. The team that we've brought in is used to working under those conditions because that's exactly what we have done. So the robustness of our testing is without question, and we lean into that scientific excellence and expertise, and you will see more things coming from us throughout the course of this year where we actually really highlight that expertise and highlight that information in such a way that would be meaningful to all of our practitioners and customer base.
I can't wait for that. mostly because I already know this about your team, but I want other people to know it. And I'm really excited. It's important. It's such an important part. I mean, beyond the clinical science of what do these biomarkers mean? What can you do? How do they change depending on what you do? I think really explaining to clinicians the level of rigor that goes into developing this technology, to validating it every step of the way, to continuing to check on it is a critical thing that we don't really even learn about. So I'm excited for that. Okay, let's move on. We talked a lot about toxins. We've talked about toxins, environmental toxins. Let's talk about some of your other panels. I mean, I know you guys have food allergy and sensitivity testing, hormone panels, gut assessments, and more. Let's talk about some of the other tests.
So one of the important things for people to understand about Mosaic Diagnostics is, again, to the point, these other types of tests. The food IgG test it's an important test, particularly when you are working with people that, again, have kind of chronic complaints that sometimes can't be explained by traditional testing. You know, one of the things is that the tests are not always looking at a disease pattern, which is a lot of times what many conventional tests are looking for or trying to identify. They're looking at underlying imbalances. And food IgG reactivity, that delayed hypersensitivity reaction, is easily, it's often an overlooked situation in conventional medicine. It's not well recognized. Most conventional docs really only look at food reactions as something linked to an IgE allergy. But there's so much literature and research behind IgG reactivity triggering inflammation. And that inflammation can be in the gut, it can be in the joints, it can be throughout the body. It can create, you know, brain reactions, neuroinflammation. Sometimes people manifest with, you know, chronic fatigue or memory issues. I mean, you know, again, autoimmune reactivity. So it's really an important test. It's something that I run in my practice personally, Kate, all the time, to look for hidden food sensitivities and reactions, to just try to assess what are those triggers of inflammation. We know that inflammation is such a big problem in chronic, you know, health problems, but a lot of people are walking around inflamed and they don't necessarily know it. But the foods can be a major driving force for that. From a hormonal standpoint, one of the first things I learned about way back when I first started in San Diego in functional medicine was the importance of adrenal testing and looking at cortisol and DHEA patterns. And I mean, it's really actually that concept in diagnostic testing is fundamental with regards to functional medicine. So it's understanding the role of the adrenals and that hypothalamic pituitary adrenal axis dysfunction that happens in so many people, whether it's coming from, again, food reactions or chronic infections, poor sleep, mental, emotional stressors. It's really a key component of functional medicine when you look at the roots of functional medicine. One of the things we didn't discuss was stool testing. We know that the microbiome plays a huge role, and this is much more appreciated now, Kate, than I think it's ever been. We knew about gut problems going back when I first started nearly 30 years ago. We all kind of understood that, yeah, there could be parasites, and yes, there could be inflammation, but we didn't know all of what we know today with regards to the microbiome, the interplay between the microbiome and the cells of our body and our brain function and our mitochondria. And so a comprehensive stool analysis has become more than just assessing for an infection, although that's important, or assessing for markers of inflammation or maldigestion. It's looking at the microbiome and understanding more of its influence. And the cool thing about stool testing is it pairs really well with our other tests. So you can look at a stool test and look at the microbiome pattern and then oftentimes see similar patterns on the organic acids test, whether that's under the Clostridia section or the fungal section. And then also understanding that if there is markers of inflammation and maldigestion, yeah, that in part can come about because of microbiome imbalances, but the microbiome imbalances could be caused by exposure to mycotoxins. Mycotoxins are a great disruptor of the ecosystem of the gut. The same with chemicals. We know that glyphosate can create shifts in the microbiome, the bacterial patterns, where many of the good bacteria are depleted and you get an overgrowth of opportunistic bacteria. In fact, there's been studies that looked at glyphosate exposure causing an increased expression of pathogenic Clostridia bacteria, which if you again pull the lens back, Kate, and analyze the different tests that we have, you can see those same patterns oftentimes show up in the organic acid test. So what's really interesting is to take this and it's connecting this testing information to create a much more complex picture of a patient's underlying problems and their exposures through these different types of assessments.
A mosaic.
Yeah, exactly. They're perfect. I love that.
Well, that brings me to the rebrand question, actually. I did not mean to segue like that, but you set it up perfect. I mean, you mentioned, Dr. Waller, that the Mosaic used to be called Great Plains Laboratory, and then it became Mosaic Diagnostics. So, Scott, why did the team change the name?
Yeah, that's a great question. The name change actually predates me, so it happened a little bit before I got here. But really, the name Great Plains Laboratory was less about who we were than where we were. So we're located in the Overland Park, Kansas area, in the Kansas City area. But we're really not a Midwest lab that's only serving the Midwest. We are serving 50,000 practitioners from around the globe in more than 80 countries, have impacted millions of lives. So we are not just this little lab in the center of Kansas somewhere that's only very regionalized. Also, just the medicine that we do is personal. Every person, as you just mentioned, is a mosaic. We're very complex pieces and parts that go together, and we have to understand exactly what's going on with each of the areas of our bodies and minds to be healthy. We don't want to eliminate the mind aspect of things. Certainly, it's more than just physically what's going on with you. But if your mental health is suffering because your physical health is suffering, that doesn't allow you to get better either. So it's very important that we help with those assessments where we can as well. And then just seeing the bigger picture about the power behind our name. Again, each person is a mosaic. Everyone that works here creates a mosaic, and everyone that we serve throughout the globe is a mosaic as well. It's not the same in every part of the world, but the work and the testing that we do is helpful to all of these folks all over the world.
And I know, I mean, we're talking about with the name, how do we send a message about who we are, who we serve, what we stand for? Was there anything internally that changed with the rebrand?
As a matter of fact, yes, we did update many of our reports, the look and feel of our reports. One of the pieces of feedback that we got from our clinicians is that some of our reports are a little bit difficult to understand, the OAT report being one of them. So we spent a lot of time taking in that feedback, and we've completely reformatted the OAT report. Other reports that we're doing as well, we have tried to simplify. We're not only simplifying these reports, but we're backing them up with educational guides. We have over a 300-page educational guide that goes with our OAT test that really helps dive in to the level of detail needed. So we're always looking at ways to not only make our tests easier to understand, but easier to look at on a page to tell what's going on. I find the best test reports are the ones where you can tell at a glance what's going on. I don't necessarily have to pore over it in tremendous detail. You certainly can. And as I said, with the 300-page supplement guide, you can get as detailed as you want to. And you can always call our educational experts, and they will take you even more levels deeper if you need to. But sometimes you just need to be able to tell at a glance, especially things that are going okay. I can look at that. It's like, okay, good to go there. I don't need to spend much time on that. Let me spend my time where I need to look at things that are a little bit more problematic. Another thing I'd like to say is that our tests are not static. Our tests have been around for a while, but we are always looking at ways to add markers, improve sensitivities, just add things that clinicians need to, again, help assess the patient in more detail in a deeper way as needed.
Hey, Kate, if I can jump in real quick on top of what Scott mentioned with regards to the report. So a recent addition to the reporting aspect was the organic acids test. And the clinical team spent a lot of time, a lot of people at Mosaic spent a lot of time putting this together. And to Scott's point, some of the tests, you know, can be complicated at first glance. And the organic acid test has a lot of markers and people, you know, it could be a lot of information to take in, particularly for a new practitioner. And the whole point of the enhanced report was to try to draw forward, you know, clinically relevant markers in a little bit more easy to understand and digestible format. So the six key clinical categories is something that they came up with to really hone in on what tends to be most important for, again, most practitioners to pay attention to. And it's all about that pattern recognition, which I had mentioned before, recognizing the how certain markers or certain sections of that test can influence other areas or speak to the fact that we need to do additional testing. Again, back to the tox detect or metals or mycotoxins. So it's drawing in that information to allow a practitioner much more easily to assess some of the complicated nature of patients' testing, but to expand their diagnostic ability by drawing in this other information. And so that was the main emphasis of that report enhancement. And that theme is being and has been and is continues to be sort of carried across with the other diagnostics, is not to look at these tests as sort of isolated pieces of information, but how, again, kind of go back to the mosaic, how they could be put together to create a much more comprehensive picture of somebody's imbalances.
I've heard it said before that sometimes if you're new to functional medicine testing, starting with the OAT test can be a great way to get started because it will often give you clues about the other testing you may or may not need to order next. And Dr. Wall, you're nodding. Tell me, yeah, is that your opinion? Do you agree with that statement?
100%. In fact, to me, the organic acid test is the hub of the wheel. It's the focal point. It's a test that I feel never should be skipped. I've had situations clinically in practice where in years past I have skipped it and it came back to bite me clinically because I missed something. It's very easy to assume and make assumptions that somebody does or doesn't have a problem just based on what they're telling you, although a clinical history is critically important in practice. But the diagnostic testing helps to confirm problems. The other thing, diagnostic testing, like the organic acid test, also helps to rule out problems. And that's important too. I mean, take for example, Kate, the other testing, you know, looking at environmental toxins, testing or mycotoxins or food sensitivity or tick or Lyme testing. Many times in clinical practice, it's important to rule out problems as well. We're always trying to rule in problems. But I always tell patients when they get a test back that looks normal or for the most part is negative, that's not a bad thing. We just ruled a bunch of stuff out. Now we know what we don't have to deal with. But yeah, the organic acid test is really, really critical. And we have, you know, a conference coming up, actually the EDGE seminar in San Diego at the end of April, that's going to be fundamentally teaching about the organic acid test, but also how the organic acid test, again, gives insights into other tests for Mosaic, the mycotox, the tox detect, as I just mentioned. So yeah, I've made this comment. I make it all the time in my practice. If you can only afford to start with one test, the organic acid test is a great place to get things started.
Well, I think it's important to know organic acid test, it's pretty easy to collect. You don't have to go get a blood draw. It's a urine sample. And it's inexpensive compared to many of the other testing types that sometimes we do need to order for people to get more insight. But if we can avoid it, especially for clients who might really be struggling with their health, and often I think you guys might agree with this, when people come in to see us and they're really sick, it's usually not their richest day. It usually coincides that they're also not doing well financially. And so really helping the client to get super informative, amazing test results that will actually make a huge clinical impact and being conscious of their spend is a big part of caring for them. And it can be hard if you are choosing between options that feel out of reach.
Well, it's also actionable information. You're not just doing a test to just collect data for information. It's what you can act upon. And that's what's really important about Mosaic Diagnostics and the test profiles we have. All of the tests provide actionable information. So a mycotox, let's just say, for example, the mycotox and the tox detect, looking at environmental toxins. These aren't tests that are, they're not diagnosing a disease. You're assessing for exposure, but through that assessment and through understanding that somebody's been exposed, you can take actionable steps and the person can take actionable steps to try to figure out where those exposures are coming from to mitigate the problem moving forward. So it's always about action. And I think a lot of times what ends up happening with new practitioners is they either don't test because they're not sure what to start with, or they get easily overwhelmed because of the amount of information. But if you, again, you step back and sort of look at what's patterns or what markers tend to be very common across different patient populations, you can be much more targeted and specific. So again, to me, the organic acid test, it goes back, it's the hub of the wheel. Nobody comes to me in my clinical practice where they don't do an organic acid test. I mean, it's up front. I mean, after all these years, 30 years, it still is the one test I always reach for.
That's powerful. I can always tell when a practitioner has had an experience where they regretted not ordering something because it's usually required for the first visit after that. And I'm That's the right. same as you, you know, like we all try to do things, you know, if the patient doesn't want to test, we try to work around it, but it usually bites you in the end. And you're thinking, oh my God, if I had only known this 4 weeks ago, we could have made much faster progress for this patient. I don't want to do this again. I'd rather just, we need to do it right up front, have a system. So we're talking a lot about the OAT, which I think is a tried and true standby test in functional medicine. A lot of clinicians know about it, but I also know that aside from perfecting the panel of tests that clinicians have come to rely on, Mosaic is also at the forefront of innovation. And so I'm curious from the two of you, what are you most excited about in the functional medicine testing space right now?
I tell you what I'm most excited about is really bringing together, you know, the convergence of understandings of genetics, which would be like genomic assessments, exposure. So we can look at these things from a collection of exposures. We all have different exposures and individual sensitivity to those exposures. That in part links back to genetic susceptibilities, but the epigenetic influences of these exposures as well that can shape metabolism. And we know that we can alter metabolism in part through lifestyle. So, you know, good sleep and exercise, healthy diet, eating a whole food, real food diet, the microbiome certainly shapes metabolism. But again, it's the interplay between our genetics, between what we're exposed to, our underlying metabolism, and really bringing that story forward to a very individualized, personalized level and getting more nuanced and specific to the individual that's sitting in front of you. Because, you know, yes, we all have very similar biochemistry and the different mechanisms at play and from a cellular biology standpoint, but still it really comes down to the individual, the bio-individuality of somebody. I see that all the time in clinical practice where I'm assessing an individual through these different types of tests, but they often will show up many times, again, with different symptoms or conditions. And so we can get much more nuanced and specific to their concern in that particular person. I think that's a really exciting area and where things are moving within the functional medicine space and where we are also moving as far as a laboratory.
Yeah, and I would also like to add some things to that as well, Kate. We talked earlier about how we're always improving our test reports. We're always improving the tests that we run, adding things to our panels, making the reproducibility of those tests and the sensitivity of those tests as good as they can possibly be. But we're also always doing things like adding algorithms, improving dashboards, and of course, AI-assisted insights. We're actually kicking off an AI project just today where we'll be working on developing an AI tool to help support what we're doing. So don't tell anybody I said that, but yeah, it'll be something that you'll see.
Oh, it's just me, you, and our 40,000 subscribers. Don't worry about that.
But anyway, we're building these things to help these clinicians do what they do best, which is to treat the patients in front of them with what's going on with them there and now.
Oh, I'm so relieved to hear that. I think that's something the space has needed for a while is, you know, functional medicine clinicians are trained to take a vast amount of information and data points and do the medical detective work, but it takes time. It takes a lot of time. It takes a ton of clinical experience. I mean, your team knows this better than anybody because you answer the phone calls from clinicians who are stuck and who need your insight about next steps. So being able to simplify that by giving folks a tool is so huge. And I see so many of the AI tools being developed are not for our practitioners specifically. So they might do a really fantastic job for our conventional docs. But hearing that you guys are building this is great news. I'm personally so excited.
So nobody has more data than we have after 30 years of having done this. So the ability to take that 30 years worth of data to build what will be the most robust AI tool in the industry is something that's very exciting to us. And we're also going to have the opportunity to test that tool using our clinical educators to be able to really pressure test, make sure that the outputs that are coming out of it are real, appropriate, actionable the way that they would if they were doing it themselves. So, you know, we can't constantly produce enough people to do this. It takes years and years and years of experience. It takes tremendous amount of complex information that you've been able to digest. We will never replace these people with our AI tool. It is only a supplement. It's only an enhancement. And then we will also always make sure that the AI tools that we build are correct. And so we're going to take this very seriously. We're going to be very thoughtful about how we do this, but I think it's going to be very exciting when we roll this out.
So let's talk about what's next. We talked about AI, talked about the science. There's stuff coming down the pike, you know, the next, as we look further out, the next 10 years. What's most interesting to your team, and what do you think clinicians should be thinking about more?
To me, what's interesting about this space is that, again, as I mentioned earlier, the groundswell of support, the patients are demanding it. That is only going to drive more and more, not only acceptance of it, but more and more physicians and practitioners to this space. We're seeing it. We go to conferences and the attendance at these conferences is like 50 and 60% first-time attendees. That doesn't happen. I mean, again, I've been 40 years in this industry. I would go to a conference that I'd been going to for 30 years, and it's like 1% to 2% new attendees. You know, so it's been very eye-opening to me to go to one of these conferences and just see, oh my goodness, there's just so many people flocking to this space. So I think you're just going to continue to see this evolution of what's happening here and just getting better and better and better.
The other system is failing. Not from the marvelous aspects of technology, of diagnostics and surgery and life-saving, you know, therapeutics and procedures. That we all recognize that is extremely valuable and necessary, but really from within the aspect of chronic complex illness. People are coming here because they're not getting the answers and they're suffering. And it's tragic because in some regards, it speaks to our environment. There's things that are happening rapidly to our world, to the air we breathe, to the water we drink, to the food we eat, to the things we're exposed to. And our biology isn't having enough time to catch up. We're being bombarded with so many things, you know, so quickly. And it's why certain people are, you know, really, really struggling. And we have so many of the answers to help assess for those types of exposures, and as best to our knowledge as of right now, to help people through those difficulties, whether it's through detoxification or targeted nutritional supplementation or other types of therapeutics. And that will just continue to be innovative as we move forward, you know, not only as us as a company to bring more diagnostics that help to bring those answers, but just the general narrative within the functional integrative space from an educational standpoint, and it's extremely, you know, necessary. So I think all in all, it's a very positive thing. It's a very exciting time to be involved in the functional integrative medicine space. It's only going to continue to grow. And we're looking for good, hardworking people who are willing to put in the work and the time and the energy and the effort, you know, to bring forward a positive influence. And you know, that ultimately is what will stand the test of time. And I really think ultimately we're standing on a very solid foundation, you know, moving forward in this particular area.
I just want to add one last comment to that too, if I could, Kate. I mean, it really has to do with the partnership with us and Fullscript. We really do believe in the mission of Fullscript as well and the offering that Fullscript has. We love the partnership. We like working with people we like to work with. And I'm not just saying that because we're on the phone with you, but you know how much we think of you as well. But just everyone we come into contact with at Fullscript is, again, highest of integrity, fully above board, care about what you're doing, wanting to make sure that anything we might do together, while it might be a great idea, let's make sure it's right for the patients. Let's make sure that this is going to be something that's going to be positive for the patient. And, you know, I just want to make that comment because I don't know that that gets said enough in these types of settings, but we really do value our relationship. It's really about us together. We are stronger than we are individually, and that's what we really care about.
1,000,000%. I can tell you, everybody at Fullscript feels the same way about you guys. You're going to have a lot of listeners on this podcast when it airs. I can't thank the two of you enough for being here, for sharing your vision, the story behind Mosaic, the people behind Mosaic. Before we head out and wrap up, is there anything you want to leave our audience with? Something to that they can take away with them after listening to this?
Last thing I would like to say is just thank you. Thank you for what you're doing because you're joining us in this mission to help patients. We want to help you help your patients. You know, if you don't use us and use another laboratory, that's fine. We get that because we're all on the same mission. I don't want to be the only lab in the world. Trust me, it's not about that. But we want to be the lab when you need us, and we want to be the lab you can count on and that you value. And I promise you that we value you and we value your time, and we understand how hard your job is. And we want to be there to support you in any way that we can. So thank you so much for this time today and for the opportunity to say these things that we feel are so important.
You know, and Kate, to kind of tag onto what Scott mentioned, you know, what you're doing at Fullscript is you're a resource. You're a platform that provides help and assistance and really hope. I mean, that's one of the things that often gets lost in this discussion is a lack of hope that many patients who are dealing with complicated matters start to lose, and practitioners can become easily frustrated when they don't have the tools. And so Fullscript is a massive beneficial tool, you know, to be able to access various products that can help people, but all the other work that you do from an educational standpoint, outreach standpoint, et cetera. We feel the same way about ourselves as a lab that provides test information that's usable and actionable. But again, back to that point of being a resource, we want people to reach out to us, you know, schedule with us, you know, come to us, come to our website, you know, look at our webinars, look at our education material, set up an account, talk to the clinical advisors. Again, it's about hope and help. And that's something that I've been involved in now nearly for my, well, I have my entire career, but from an educational standpoint, it's something that I love. And the team we have at Mosaic is seriously dedicated, you know, to that process and will continue to do so.
Well, thank you guys. This was beautiful. I know our team feels the exact same way. And we highly recommend the education that Mosaic has put together for our listeners is phenomenal. And so let's tell listeners where they can find you. They can obviously find any Mosaic test on the Fullscript platform in the same workflow that they're used to and add it to a client plan and get started right away. But if they want to get to know your company, you maybe take a course with you guys, contact one of the clinical consultants. Let's talk about the resources you've created for them.
So just come straight to our website, which is mosaicdx.com, and you'll be able to access the list of labs, the resource sections, learn how to set up accounts. So, I mean, that's the website is probably the best place to go. And then you can follow us on Instagram as well. Just look up Mosaic Diagnostics on Instagram and be able to follow us there, because there's continually things being posted from not only talking about the upcoming EDGE Summit, which is going to be talking about the organic acid test and many of our other tests, but just ongoing information from educational videos to webinars to social media posts. So we're just constantly in that process of evolving information. We have an entire library of, you know, very interesting blogs and clinical research articles that go out as, you know, bits of information that are all clinically relevant. So coming to the website and just, you know, learning more about us, set up a time with the customer service, learning more about us, all of that is readily available at your fingertips.
Awesome. 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 Well, thank you both so much for being here today. We're so honored to work with you, and I look forward to talking with you more soon.
Thanks so much, Kate. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to today's episode. We're so glad you're here. Before you go, we'd love your help spreading this message of whole person care. Our goal is to bring this education to more practitioners for free. and you can make a huge difference. If you liked today's episode, leave us a 5-star review. We read every single one. Drop a comment and let us know what resonated with you, or share this episode with a friend or colleague who might enjoy it. One important note: the views expressed on this podcast are those of the hosts and the guests, and they don't necessarily reflect the views of Fullscript or any affiliated organizations. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and it's not intended to be medical advice. For your safety, always check with your healthcare provider before making any changes to your healthcare routine. We'll catch you next time on the Root Cause Medicine Podcast.